Beautiful. O Lamb of God, I come. What an amazing concept that is, that he gives us pardon and relief and releases us of our guilt and our shame. Let us go before the Lord in prayer and pray over the reading of his word this morning. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for allowing us to not only come, but to come boldly to your throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and help in time of need. And Lord, we're needy people. We have many issues. So Lord, just be with us every step of the way, and we know that you are. We know, even though we ignore and don't think that you're near us, but you're very close. You can hear everything that is being said. And we thank you for being a God that cares. Lord, be with me this morning as I preach your word. Let it go forth. Let your spirit open our spiritual hearts and ears so that we could see marvelous things out of your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today's message is going to be about a very simple thing. Have you heard me say that before? We'll be speaking about the issue today of lying. And lying seems to be a way of life for a lot of people. People lie at the drop of a hat. In the book, The Day America Told the Truth, what an apropos name, it says that 91% of those surveyed lie routinely about trivial matters. 91%. 36% lie about important matters. 86% lie to their parents. I know you're in the 14% that don't. I know. 75% lie to their friends. 73% lie to their brothers and sisters. 69% lie to their spouses. A USA Today poll found that 56% of Americans, only 56%, teach their children about being honest. And a Lewis Harris poll turned up the distressing fact that a large portion of high school students would regularly cheat on an important exam. Recently, a noted physician said this as he appeared on a network news and talk show. He said, "Lying is an important part of social life, and children who are unable to do it have developmental problems." What? Can you believe that? What? Can you believe that? Nowadays, we hear a lot about fake news, and I'm not going to be going on and on about this, but when I was a young person, I remember the newspaper people would never consider printing anything without checking their sources to find out if the story was true or not. Instead of pushing the facts, they look for the most titillating, eye-grabbing headlines to get ratings. The psalmist tells us about a liar's intention. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Pretty close to what we're seeing today. And then let's talk about social media for a moment. You know that it can't be trusted as far as you can throw it, except my posts. My posts are always factually true, especially about the Dodgers. So, but this lying thing shouldn't come as a surprise to any of us, because Scripture tells us that the ruler of this world is the chief liar. John says he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. And guess what? Because of the fall, all humanity has the propensity to lie as well. Look at these verses. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. They bend their tongue like a bow. Falsehood, not truth, has grown strong in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone beware of their neighbor, and put no trust in any brother, for every brother is a deceiver. We just read that like 70% lies to their siblings. Every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Scripture concurs with the earlier polls that I just mentioned. The church father Augustine said, when regard for truth has been broken down or even slightly weakened, all things will remain undoubtful. And that's the problem with lying. Like the old story of the boy who cried wolf, people's credibility dissolves really fast. It's like when I talked to Elaine the other day. I went to her house to visit her, and sitting on her couch, I said, Elaine, how you doing today? She says, oh, I'm fine, Pastor. I'm doing really good. And then when I came in the next day, she's in the ER because of her vertigo. So her credibility on how you doing today, Elaine, is pretty much shot with me. You know I'm teasing Elaine. But a big problem that people has is that they try to justify themselves when they lie, don't they? But Pastor, all I'm doing is bending the truth. Pastor, all I'm doing is shading or stretching the truth. We continue to say, oh, it was just a little white lie. Just a little white lie. Or how about this one? I use this one a lot when I am with Lou. And just for your info, Lou's not here today because she's very sick, so if you could pray for her, that would be great. We were only exaggerating. Have you ever heard that one? I was only exaggerating. And exaggerate, we do. Question. What is the credibility for speaking the truth in the business world? Many businesses will tell you anything to make a sale. I once purchased a home in Ontario, California. And after I had just moved in, we had 100 plus mile an hour winds. Half of my roof got blown off, as well did some of my neighbors. Just tore off. I guess it hadn't set yet. So, for fun, because they were giving me a hard time getting it replaced, I went into their office because they had one more section that they were selling. And I went up to them, and I pretended to be a new customer, and I says, hey, I heard there was a lot of wind here last week. Did it cause any problems, any damage, or anything like that? And they says, oh, no, we don't have problems with wind around here. And I said, gotcha. I'm in the fifth group of homes that you sold, and my roof is off. And I got my roof fixed because of that. And how truthful are advertisers? You know, if you drink our beer, it's always going to be a party. Or if you drive this car, you know, people are going to look at you and think you're special, you know? What about our politicians? How truthful are they? Okay, we'll skip them.
Yeah.
How about lawyers? When we used to have a saying in court that when we saw somebody on the witness stand and we knew they were lying, we called it test-a-lying. because they should have been testifying, but they were testifying. How about preachers? Don't laugh. Don't laugh too. But how about your preachers? You know, one of the funniest, and this is kind of funny, when I've been going to some pastoral lunches in Modesto and Salida, and inevitably, one of the first things that a pastor will say to you when you start talking to him is, oh, so how many people are in your church? And if a pastor has 50, he'll say, oh, about 75. And if a person has 75, oh, I've got about 100. Stretching that truth, right? I went to a luncheon with my old pastor one time, and he did the same thing. And I go, are we going to the same church? Maybe you're having a special service some other time that I'm not aware of. But we don't have that many people. Stretching the truth, exaggerating. Remember that great line in the movie with Jack Nicholson when he exclaimed in the movie A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. He was probably right, because our society has been built upon lies, falsehoods, half-truths. And all of a sudden, if real truth would be injected into the mix, it might cause society as we know it to implode. But guess what? The absolute truth, Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life, came into the world. And it's been rocking ever since. Jesus said to the Pharisees, but because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. If I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you don't hear them is because you're not of God. Even the scribes and the Pharisees, who Jesus has been chastising, should have known better, for even they believed that lying, as well as scoffing, hypocrisy, and slander were one of the four great sins that they would teach about that would shut people out of God's kingdom. But in our text today, the Lord will once again expose their convenient distortions of God's truth, in which they claim to love and teach. In this text, this morning, Jesus will show us the original Mosaic, or teaching of Moses, the Pharisees' wrong perspective, and his own re-emphasis of what God's standard of truth had always been. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. You should have a permanent crease in your Bible in that chapter by now. We're going to start at verse 33 and read only verse 33. And for those of you who don't have your Bibles on the back of your program, there is the scripture there. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows unto the Lord. Jesus begins by taking three passages from Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and combines them into our text this morning. In this first verse, the two words for vows in the Greek, or oaths, are two different words in the Greek. The first one is epiorkio, which means to perjure oneself or to make false vows. The second is horkos, which literally means to enclose as with a fence or to bind together. The truth of a vow is to be enclosed, bound, and therefore strengthened by the vow that is invoked on its behalf. The Leviticus passage says this, you shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of the Lord, because I am your God. By the reading of this verse, one can surmise that it's okay to swear an oath upon God. For by evoking God's name, we're saying that we will be truthful as God is my witness. So if you invoke God's hallowed name, scripture and common sense dictates that you better follow through. The writer of the Hebrews says, "For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute." Often when the President of the United States gets sworn into office, he ends it by saying, "So help me God." And when one is a witness in court, the clerk, when they swear you in, asks this question: "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?" It's the same thing. And I've seen that oath broken many times. All throughout the Old Testament, we see characters like Abraham, Isaac, and David swear oath using God's name to render the oaths credible and to give it weight. Even God himself swore by himself, not that he needed to prove credibility, but when he does it, he wants to impress upon people a special importance or urgency to one of his promises. To Abraham, God said, after Abraham was willing to offer up his son, God said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore." Jesus in the New Testament did the same thing when he said the words, "Truly I say to you," and when he wanted to really emphasize something, he would say, "Truly, truly, I say to you." It had nothing to do with his credibility, but it was a unique importance that he wanted to share with us. But no matter how strong the oath might be, it's only as reliable as the person who makes it. But by Old Testament law, oaths were only to be made in God's name. And why do you think that was? Deuteronomy and Isaiah says, "You shall fear only the Lord your God. You shall worship him and swear by his name. He who is blessed in the earth will be blessed by the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth will swear by the God of truth." Remember when Jesus was being tried, the apostle Peter had a conversation with a couple of servant girls. Now Peter was sitting outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were also with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth," and again he denied it with an oath. "I do not know the man." By God himself, "I don't know Jesus." A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." Guess he had a Galilean accent. Then he began to curse and swear, "I don't know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. Peter wasn't cursing or swearing profanity, but was giving strength to his oath. It was bad enough to have lied. It was worse to call God as a witness to his lie. That's probably why Peter ran away, was so despondent, and wept bitterly. God establishes the seriousness of keeping an oath, especially if one uses his name. Leviticus says, "Or if a person swears thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good, in whatever matter a man may speak thoughtlessly with an oath, it's hidden from him, and then he comes to know it, he will be guilty in one of these. So it shall be when he becomes guilty in one of these that he shall confess that in which he has sinned. He shall also bring his guilt offering to the Lord for his sin which he has committed, and the priest shall make atonement on behalf for his sin." lying, using God's name in a foolish way, or just to get somebody off your back. I promise I'll do that. I swear to God I'll do that. Is wrong. Joshua in the Old Testament punctuates the importance of keeping an oath by telling the people of Israel, we need to be true, lest wrath be upon us for the oath that we have sworn. We got to be truthful. We got to be people of our word. We've lost that in this world. People used to say, my word is my bond. My handshake seals the deal. I don't need to write it down. I'll take care of it. My word is my bond. The problem that Jesus had with the scribes and Pharisees was that the Pharisees agreed with Jesus that any oath sworn by God better be kept. But other oaths, if instead sworn by heaven, the earth, the temple, even the hairs on their head, could be optional in their truthfulness. Are you starting to see the problem here? God says we need to swear by him because we need to be truthful. If we don't use him, we're basically, I guess back then, if somebody swore by anything other than God, you probably knew that they were lying. So let's continue and read our final verses in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 34. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by the earth, for it's the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no, and anything beyond that is evil. Jesus was basically telling the people that it'd be better for them to not make an oath at all if they couldn't be truthful. Jesus' point is that the God is the creator of everything. And so he is the God of truth in everything. To dishonor or compromise any truth is to dishonor and compromise his truth. Heaven is God's. Earth is God's. Jerusalem is God's. Every person's head is God's. And everything that is connected to him is sacred. And all truth is his truth. Jesus' point was that every lie is against God. And every false oath is against him as well. William Barclay was a seminary professor and a minister in Scotland, and he said this, here is a great eternal truth. Life cannot be divided into compartments in some of which God is involved in, and in others which he is not. There cannot be one kind of language in the church and another one in the factory or office. There cannot be one kind of conduct in the church and another one in the business world. The fact is, God does not need to be invited into certain departments of our lives, for he is everywhere. He is all through life and every activity of our lives. He does not only hear the word spoken in his name, he hears all words. He hears all words. We need to regard all of our words to be sacred. We need to remember that he is ever before us. And that everything that is said or done is in his presence. Remember when you speak that God will always be one of the listeners. Truth has no degrees or shades. A half-truth is a whole lie. And I heard said that those who are given to white lies soon become colorblind. Because it stretches and it goes farther and farther. God has never had any standard lower than total and absolute truth. God's word says, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God doesn't like lying. God doesn't like lying. He only represents truth. In closing, I want to leave you with a small thought. Satan, like we just said, was the very first liar. There is no form of sin which we act more satanically than when we indulge in telling a lie. For a simple lie brought down the whole world. One simple lie. Did God really say that? Did God really say that if you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die? Did he actually say that? No, he didn't say that. He said if you eat of it, you'll become like gods. Be like us. The respected Presbyterian preacher Donald Gray Barnhouse said, it is a sad fact that the lying tongues of professing Christians are often too busy doing the devil's work. And the great philosopher Socrates said, false words are not only evil in themselves, but they infect the soul with evil. So instead of all the lies, let this be our prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The only words that are acceptable to God are ones spoken in truth. The church reformer John Huss said, O faithful Christian, search the truth, hear truth, learn truth, love truth, speak truth, and hold to the truth until death. So let us be people who speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this message. Because oftentimes we will take the easy way out and simply lie instead of facing the mess that we may have created. Help us, Lord, to be wise. Help us to have words of truth. Let us be people of integrity. Because, Lord, there's so much of a lack of that out in the world today. And if we could just be truthful, if we could be people of integrity, the world will take notice and say, I want that truth as well. If we are people that speak the truth, we'll be witnessing of our Father's love to the world. Because your character is truth. There, you cannot lie. And Lord, help us to do that as well. Be people that don't lie. People that uphold the truth. Study the truth. Learn the truth. Live the truth. Love the truth. So help us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.